Praise God. Amen. Thank God for the children. Amen? Amen. Also want to thank God for you mothers, mothers-to-be, that we haven't seen your children yet. We thank God you bring them to church every Sunday. And make sure we continue to do that. One little note I will say to young people in here, please don't live on your mother's faith. It's time to understand that you cannot have faith for someone else. The Bible says very clearly in 2 Corinthians 1:24, we have no dominion over your faith. So therefore, it doesn't matter how strong the faith of your mother and father is, until it becomes yours, it does not help you. Now, they can pray for you and they can believe God for you, like we did, my wife and I did for our five children, that we always believe God. The scripture says in Timothy, I know in whom I've believed, and I'm persuaded he is able to keep what I have committed unto him unto that day. But there's a difference between somebody being kept and safe and actually having a life filled of blessing by faith. Can you say amen? So I'm over here, folks. And so keep this in mind. I want you to remind your children. I want you to remind your children, they do not have your faith. I've noticed that as a leader myself, a lot of people have tried to do some of the things that my wife and I have done in our lives, and they can't do it because they don't have my faith. They have their faith, but not my faith. So don't try and do what my faith did. We okay? Only do what your faith can do. Now, the truth is that all things are possible to those that believe. But there are some times when, personally, I have great faith in some areas and not so much in others. I'm not saying that's limiting, because great faith and all faith is available. Of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. But there is a reality. You must understand, young people, just because you're mother, father, prayer warriors, people of faith, strong people, it doesn't mean a thing until you are. So I just want you to remind that to your own children. Also, is there anybody here at the moment? I know how difficult people talk about the economy. I'm sure things are improving, and I hear different things all the time. But is there anybody here at the moment who is actually, how do we put it, between jobs? Is there anybody here who's unemployed at the moment? Let me just see. Okay, then we have always got jobs to do around here during the week. So I thank God you were the first four. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, in all labor there is profit. Doesn't say when you go and get a job, God provides for you. It says in all labor there is profit. So if you work, God will pay you. Come on, folks. And the end of that verse is kind of pretty. It says, in all labor there is profit, but idle chatter leads to poverty. So I want to encourage you, that's Proverbs 14:23. It's important to understand these things. If you are not a busy person, get busy. If you don't know what to do with your time, come here. We know what to do with your time. I don't have any dominion over your faith, but if you need help from God, then get busy. Get busy. God never called a man hanging around doing nothing. He always called the Peters and the Jameses and the Johns and the Matthews and the Sauls. He called people who were busy. He called the Elishas because they were busy. He called the King Davids because he was going about his father's business. And this is a very important thing. And in the day we live in, the work ethic of our great nation has taken tremendous pounding from people who just think that it's okay. You know, I want to say this. You know, God's going to bless the work of your hands. It's amazing how few people use their hands these days. They use their heads. And I want to encourage you to get busy with your hands. Put your hands to the plow. Do something. Even if you're, you know, you're a stay-at-home mum, there's still some time in the day where you can give yourself to the service of God. He will bless you. I promise you. I promise you he'll bless you. And these things are important. They're vital, people that don't know. Remember, if you're bored, only boring people get bored. No, I'm sorry, only boring people. I was raised in London. And when I was 14, 15 years old, I was bored. In London, in the 60s, I was bored. There was more action in London in the 60s than any city on the planet. Oh, yeah. It wasn't San Francisco, New York, or LA. It was London. And I was bored. Because I was boring. Are you with me here? Don't blame other people. Don't feel left out. Josh has already said this morning, he who isolates himself seeks his own desire and rages at all wise counsel. If you're feeling left out, it's your choice. It's your choice. Jesus has included you all in everything. Because all of the promises of God in Christ Jesus are yes and amen. So I want to encourage you. It's you know, it's better than being, you know, couch couscous, if you remember that old commercial, which I always thought was quite funny. So praise God. Very important thing that's in our hearts at the moment is the fact that our church is getting too full. We need to go to a second service, and our second service is going to be in Saugerties. Hallelujah. So I want to remind you folks, where are our Joshua and Calebs? Why haven't you got a place, found a place yet? You should be out there with bloodhounds, finding somewhere where we can meet. I'm not a betting man, but I bet you I could find a place real quick if I started looking. Come on, folks. Now, come on. It's not, I know you don't have my faith, but I'll challenge you here. Remember when I came to New York, drove up from Virginia. God spoke to us in Jerusalem to go to Lexington, New York. Let me say it again. God spoke to us in Jerusalem to go to Lexington, New York. Anybody here know where Lexington, New York is? Well, you know where it is. Praise God. She used to live in Wyndham. Praise God. Lexington, New York is the smallest Lexington of the 14 Lexingtons in America. And it's up in the Catskill Mountains, and it's 5 miles from nowhere and 10 miles from any place. And so, but God spoke to us to go to Lexington, New York. And so I drove up from Virginia, stayed overnight in the Bronx, and then in one day I drove up to Lexington, found a place to live, and drove back to the Bronx one day. And that place cost me $250 a month to rent. Now, another time when God spoke to us to go down to start a church in New York City, I went down there on a Tuesday with a team of seven. Found an apartment on Wednesday, had church service in that apartment on Sunday. The following Sunday, we had a storefront and had church. In 10 days, we had one apartment and a storefront up and running because I realized we've got to do this. Now, you've got to get a godder in your spirit. If you don't have a godder in your spirit, you're not going to get anywhere. You got to have a godder. And most of us, we don't have a godder because we have her. We have a job, we have health insurance, we have this, we have that, right? And it's a reality that a lot of us are missing because we are not living by faith. So let's go there. Hebrews 11. Let's go there. We are not living by faith. We are living by our own means, our own understanding, our own strength, our own experience, our own education, our own knowledge, our own wisdom, and that is not faith. I have a lot of experience. My experience is not faith. I'd like to encourage you that even though I might have raised the dead or seen sick healed and traveled around the world, it still does not give you faith. It gives you hope, but it does not give you faith. Your faith cannot in any way come from me. Your faith cannot come from Pastor Josh. Your faith cannot come from any man, woman, or child on this planet. Your faith can only come from God. It is the only source of faith. And this is the biggest mistake that so many of us are making. And so let's go to, what did I say? Hebrews 11. Where else could it be? They call it the Faith Hall of Fame. Hallelujah. And it very much is. And let's one day believe that our names will be in there. Are you ready? Verse 1. Please, I'd encourage you to bring Bibles to church. It really does help if you read it and hear it. It does help you remember it better. It increases the percentage of it sticking. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now, I found that as a pastor and been in the ministry now for 34 years, that when I ask people about whatever their need is and their problem is, nearly always their answer is the same. I hope so. I almost never get an answer, I faith so. Maybe that's bad English, but I'm a master of bad English, therefore I don't care. I faith so. No, we say, I hope so. You don't have to be saved to have hope. The Old Testament is a book of hope. We discussed this last week. The Old Testament has no faith in it, only hope. The word faith is not used in the Old Testament except one prophecy that says the just shall live by faith. And another time, and the only other time that word is used, when it says, oh, you faithless generation. So I want you to understand that the Jewish people do not have faith, only hope. Now, faith, therefore, is a person. And that person is not Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob. And that person is not King David, or Isaiah, or Elijah. That person is definitely not John the Baptist, although I have seen a few John the Baptists running around lately. That person is Jesus the Messiah. That is what faith is. That is who faith is. Now, many times, I used to remember when we were at the school, Alice, Hosanna Christian Academy, Pastor Ernie Fink had a wonderful church up there in Greene County in Greenville, New York. And I used to mess with the kids. I'd say things like, okay, who believes this pulpit is made of wood? Let's do it here. Who believes this pulpit is made of wood? Raise your hands. Okay, so you don't need to believe it. You can see it's made of wood. So you would not believe it's made of wood. You know it's made of wood. You know, I'm not being awkward here. I'm not getting into semantics. I want you to understand the difference. Yeah, I know that's made of wood. What kind of wood? Well, I have to ask Josh later. So the reality is, I know it's made of wood. I know. Now, faith is the knowing of things hoped for. I know my God will supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I have that faith. You see, and it isn't just a hope where I may say to you, how are your finances doing? Oh, we got a few debts. You think you can get out of debt? I hope so. I hope so. Okay, we'll carry on. You're using a shovel that got you in debt to get you out of debt. So every time you have a problem, if you're solving it the same way that got you into the problem, how the heck do you think you're going to get out of it? It's like pouring water on a drowning man. I hope so. So I want you to understand, hope has to have substance. Now, the scripture says, now faith is. Not one sweet morning. Not next week. Not even tomorrow. You see, because Jesus has absolutely zero confidence in tomorrow. Come on, folks. I love that statement that Gary made. How's it go again? Your future is what you do now strung together. That's a really good testament and a good definition of faith. Your future is what you do now strung together. Now faith is the substance. Now Jesus is the substance. You see, because before Jesus came, there was no flesh to substantiate the promise. Your father's coming home and he's going to bring you a present. To be quite honest, kids struggle with that because until the substance of their father in the flesh comes home, they're going to be disappointed. Who knows that? They want to... Who here normally tells your children months in advance that you're going on vacation? We came back from Australia. Remember this, Alice, years ago. Alice was only 10. She was the eldest. Our five children were 10 through 2. And we came back and the children were just mad at me because all through Australia, the number one question you were asked in Australia was... You don't remember? By the kids over there. What's Disney World like? And my children would go, oh, we haven't been there. These were my pre-poor, no, my poor days, not my pre-poor days. We got past that pre-poor days. So when we got back to, we flew back into LA before we drove back here. We decided, Wendy and I decided to take them to Disneyland in California. But do you think I was going to tell them? What do you think, I'm stupid? Are we there yet? You don't tell your children things like that. Come, mate. So we piled them all in a car, seven of us in one car. Is that legal? And we drove. Where are we going, Dad? Well, we're going out for the day. Oh, okay, where are we going? Okay. And suddenly they see these signs for Disneyland. And they went, nah. See, because they were with us during our pre-poor days as well as our poor days. Hallelujah. And then they saw over the road, welcome to Disneyland. Yeah! And we went to Disneyland and had a great day. Now, I was not dumb enough to start giving them this feeling in their heart of, and to be honest, just annoying me. Now, maybe you have better children, that they don't annoy you. When's Christmas? How much longer are we going to be? When are we going to be? When's dinner ready? Can I have a beer? Can I have a beer? Now faith is. Not tomorrow. When God makes a promise, there's no tomorrow involved. I want to say something emphatic. I need you to hear this. Faith will never work tomorrow. It will never work tomorrow. If you're going to believe on Monday, I mean, how many of you have ever started a diet on a Sunday? That's what I thought. We always start them tomorrow. We always start it tomorrow. Because we don't have faith. We don't have faith. Now, faith is. Now, faith. Take no thought for tomorrow. take no thought for tomorrow. Remember the rest of that verse? Well, what is it, Mary? It is. The day has enough trouble of its own, or sufficient is the evil thereof. If ever you've read the original. Sufficient is evil. Tomorrow is an evil day. Don't you understand? Huh? There's nothing worse. There's no greater enemy to your faith than one day. That's why I love the most popular song that was ever sung in Christendom. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made, I will rejoice and be glad in it. Tomorrow's not the day. Next week is not the day. Next month is not the day. One sweet morning is not the day. Whenever is not the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Today. Today. And today is the day of your salvation. Come on. Why do you think the Bible says today? If you hearken to his, come on, if you hearken to his, oh, his voice. Why is that? Because faith comes by hearing. Today, if you hearken to his voice and harden not your heart as in the days of rebellion. So if you're going to believe tomorrow, well, you're in rebellion. But let's not talk about that. Today, I think it says it six times in the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, 2, and 3. Today, if you hearken to my voice and do not harden your hearts as in the day of rebellion. Why do you think the Bible calls in the New Testament the evil heart of unbelief? See, because you don't have an evil heart because God took out your heart of stone and put in a heart of flesh. But you can make your good heart the wrong kind of heart because of unbelief. Now, we know the scripture says, now, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, I've preached this so many times, but I really would like to emphasize it this morning. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation to those who believe, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentiles. For in it, in what? In the gospel. In it, the righteousness of God is revealed. For as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Now, my question to you is, do you live by faith? Do you live by faith? For instance, my biggest challenge, and it's always this, do you work by faith? Do you earn your money by faith? Or do you earn your money by your job? Now, I understand if you're self-employed, it gives you a better opportunity. No, it does. If you're self-employed, you have a better opportunity to live by faith. If you're a salaried position or an hourly rate, it gives you less opportunity to live by faith because it's set. And if you allow it to be set, it is. But if you determine to live by faith, then God is a rewarder to those who diligently seek him. For those who come to God must know that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, obviously I'm not against people who earn salaries, earn wages, et cetera, et cetera. But don't, you said it yesterday, so I'm any tour on earth agree. We were talking, that buddy of mine from Arizona, right? And we were mentioned something about that he doesn't, we were talking about counseling people, right? Yeah. And how Josh doesn't live by a budget. Nor do I. Never have. Now, I've got nothing against budgets. Generally speaking, generalizations are dangerous. That's why I use them a lot. Generally speaking, people who live by budgets haven't been in faith long enough. Mad at me yet? Let's work on it, okay? I'll make you mad in a minute. I'll find a way. Well, it's not in the Bible. That's my point. There's no budget in the Bible. Can you imagine? They came to Solomon. Solomon, yeah. What's the budget for the temple then? What's the hourly rate? Now, I understand he made agreements to pay this one, that one, and that much, and how much food to provide and that. But I want you to hear what I'm saying. If you're living on a budget for some time in your life, can I just say that? You haven't been living by faith. Because you've got in a hole, and now you're trying to budget your way out of it, which is a good thing. Except if you've been living by faith long enough, you wouldn't have to be doing that. So if you start now, stick to your budget, don't get me wrong, because if it's working for you. Anyway, I think budgets are a bit like diets. They don't work. Anyway. Okay, the just shall live by faith. If you are not getting up every morning and going to work by faith, you are not pleasing God. I don't care what job you do. You can be a nurse or a doctor or an engineer, or anything. You can be, but if you're not in the morning, rising up in the morning and going to work by faith, you're not pleasing God. Is that okay? Do you agree with that? Okay. You're not pleasing God. Therefore, whatever you earn is unpleasing money. And whatever you use it for, your wife and children, is unpleasing money for your wife and children. And you're just spreading things that aren't pleasing to God. Now, in my opinion, that's dumb, but forgive me. I mean, I was born in another country, so. Can you hear what I'm coming from? Now, the reason why most of us get up and go to work every morning is because you're in a rut and you don't actually acknowledge faith. 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 Thank God. When you wake up in the morning, you go to work by faith, not by works. Not by works. So, I want to touch on really a major. Let's go to the book of Joshua. I don't know where to start. I hate to do this. I've got too many scriptures and. We got to get out of our ruts. Are we okay? Can I make that statement? We got to get out of our ruts. There's a difference between diligence and a rut. Right? There's a difference. I'm not talking about, but don't think routine is diligence. Routine can be a rut. Diligence cannot be a rut. It cannot be a rut. You know, some people, he goes to church faithfully. Every Sunday he's there. Yeah, but he's got such a rotten, lousy attitude. I don't care how faithful he is. He's just in a religious rut. He's not diligently. Why do you think Paul said in Galatians chapter 2 or 3 when it says that I went up to Jerusalem by revelation? You think, I thought, you went up to Jerusalem by revelation. You see, because as a religious man, he went up to Jerusalem three times a year for the feasts. But then when he got born again, he went to Jerusalem by revelation. Now, some people go to church by routine and rut and tradition, but they don't go to church by revelation. Because if they went to church by revelation, they'd understand what church is, and they would be even a greater partaker of what the church actually has to offer. The church is the ground and the pillar of the truth. The church, the scripture talks, what does it say about the church? That the church makes known to the prince and powers of the air. Can't think of the end of the verse. We make known to the principalities and powers corporately all the things that Jesus has done for all of us. This is why the scripture says that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length, the breadth, the height, the depth. These are important realities. And people who don't understand the church by revelation are not going to church by faith. They're just going to church. You see the difference? And so you can go to church, but if you're not going to church by faith, you're not pleasing God. So it's important that we do these things by faith. Now, let me just tell you, you have faith. There's no question about that. There's no doubt in my mind or God's mind you have faith. And I want to tell you something right now. Do you realize God is not in any way mad at you? Do you all realize that? Are you totally persuaded of that? He's not in any way mad at you. He loves you. He loved you before you got saved, for God's sake. He loved you while you were a sinner, a drunk, a fornicator. He loved you then. You would have gone to hell, but that's not the point. And, oh yeah, you would have gone to hell because God's a righteous judge. I mean, how many, can I just, I'm sure I've said this before. Let's just nail this. When you witness to people, oh, well, if he's a loving God, why do people go to hell? Well, it's the same thing, and we say it before. If you had a child, a little girl that was raped and murdered, and then they caught the guy, brought him before the judge, and the judge was a loving judge. Oh, he's such a... Oh, I love you. You can go free. Is that justice? Is that righteous? That's why people go to hell, okay? It's that simple. The wages of sin is death. And all have sinned. Duh. So just get these things for when you witness to people. Or when you're out witnessing to people. Or you're at work witnessing to people. Or maybe at college witnessing to people. Or even at home witnessing to people. I know you think I'm going on, but I'm going to get something across to you guys today. Because you need faith. How many of you think your life is so blessed that you... how many of you got too much money that you really are tired of having that much money? How much of you... God, I'm sick to death of this money, for God's sake. What can... Get rid of some of it. Can you... You know what I'm saying? They were in Solomon's day, right? I mean, Moses won one offering and said, stop! That's enough! I don't need any more! Stop it! Yeah. Now, I've never taken an offering like that, but I will one day. All right. Now, what is faith? Faith is substance. It's knowing. That's wood. If you cannot believe earthly things, how can you believe heavenly things? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When I used to be with the kids at school, you remember this? How many of you guys, kids, believe I got $1,000 in my pocket? Of course, my kids would all raise their hands. Stop, put your hands down. I used to do it a lot when I go to congregation. Who believes here I got $1,000 in my pocket? No, I'm not saying it. I'm just because I don't have $1,000 in my pocket. And then I'd take the $1,000 out of my pocket. And they'll go, whoa. I said, but I told you I had $1,000 in my pocket. But you don't believe me. You know why you don't believe me? You don't know me. You know me? Why did my kids raise their hands and you didn't? Because if their dad says he's got $1,000 in his pocket, he's got $1,000 in his pocket. Right, guys? My kids have never doubted anything I've ever told them in their life. That's not a boast. It's just the way we've been. I'm going to tell this story again because I love this story. To give you an idea what faith is in a person. Now, I'm not talking about me. Don't put your faith in me or your dad or me dad or El dad for that matter. Because they're always prophesying in the wrong place. But anyway. When my son was going to Iraq for the first time, you know, Desert Storm. Which one was the second war? Iraqi Freedom. When he went first time, he's a Marine, right? We went down there to Jacksonville, North Carolina, to say goodbye on the way back. I'm preaching in Virginia. And, you know, I was confident. Yeah, right. I was confident. Kind of confident. I knew he'd be all right because I'd committed him to the Lord. You okay? I committed him to the Lord when he was born in Jerusalem all those years ago. But now there's a war involved. So my commitment is like a little bit. You know what I'm saying? He's going to war. He's a Marine. Marine? War? So I'm just stepping into the pulpit. And I'm right here when the Holy Spirit speaks to me and said, you can worry about your son as soon as I start worrying about you. Whoa, that was powerful. So I told him, he told his wife, I don't worry, nothing can happen to me in Iraq, my dad said so. She said, that's not good enough. He said, yes it is. See, that's when you know it's made of wood. That's when you know your father. That's when you know them. Oh, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That's what faith is. Faith. Okay, so let's start. Hit the wrong button. Don't you love these things? Let me just talk about faith. It says in Deuteronomy 30, if you're going there, verse 11, you're making notes, Deuteronomy 30, verse 11. I'm going to be a little longer maybe. Oh, here we go. Let me try and move faster. It says, for this commandment, which I command you today, is not mysterious to you. Somebody say, this is not mysterious. It used to be, but then it was revealed. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? And it says, nor is it afar off. Somebody say, it's not afar off. Okay, verse 12, Deuteronomy 30 says, it is not in heaven that you should say who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it, nor is it beyond the sea that you should say who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it, but the word is very near you in your mouth and in your heart. That you may do it. See, I've set before you today life and good, death and evil. Okay? So where is God? It's not afar off. It's not up in heaven. Come on, stay with me. It's not over the sea. It's in your mouth. Right, now let's go to Joshua 1. Joshua 1. This is such a fundamental truth that we are still not obeying it. Joshua 1, verse 8 says, this book of the law. Now, let's understand that's all they had. Now we have the gospel. And in it, the righteousness of God is revealed. The gospel.
This book of the law shall not depart, where? From your mouth. But you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe according to its written. And then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Now, let me just say this. So many of you are living in hope that you are still schlepping with Moses. I don't want to walk with Moses. Thank God for Moses. Thank God for that man, a man way beyond anything I could ever comprehend. But I'm not walking with Moses. It says, for the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So Moses is the escape plan, right? Getting out of sin, getting out of slavery, getting out of battles, few, getting out of whining. Do you know how many people haven't got out of whining yet? I haven't got out of whining. What is it with Christians? They are still in whining. The God of all whining. Egypt. And he is the one. I am the Lord God that healeth thee. I will put none of these diseases on you. You remember God said all this stuff in Moses? So this is the getting out guy. Moses is the getting out dude. You've got to get past getting out. Stop living in a state of permanent deliverance. Why do you think Joshua, the name Joshua, is so similar to the name Jesus? Because now we are not going round and round and round with our legalism and our do's and don'ts and our good morality according to man's opinion and our complaining about the leeks and the cucumbers and the onions and all we've got to eat is this manna. Ah! The only thing I've got to eat is God's provision. Can you imagine complaining about God's provision? I remember once we needed $30,000. And so I sent out a newsletter to all the people I knew. It's quite a lot. First check I got back, $2. Who'd ever write a check for $2? I mean, if they'd wrote it for 2 cents, I could say, maybe it's the widow's mite. I'm not sure. But $2? I remember I need $30,000. I got a check for $2. Remember when we stuck it in the fridge? I was so stinking mad. Guess how many more checks I got after that? None. Not one. Because God was sending me some manna, mate, and I was complaining. God was sending me something. Come on, mate. I cashed it. Thank you, Jesus. Then the checks started coming in. Hallelujah. Oh, give me the garlics. Give me the leeks. Give me the Five Guys. Oh. We did have a good pizza, like Angela's Pizza, you know, mushroom and sausage. Oh, Jesus. Thank God for America, eh? But how many of us are living on the leeks and the onions and the garlics of America instead of the manna of God? Because we're not doing it by faith. You see what I'm saying? It doesn't matter how much you earn. The Bible is very clear. It says you put it in a bag full of holes. How many of you earn a lot more money than I've ever earned in my life, and yet you got debts? It's because it's a bag full of holes and you're not earning it by faith. And you're not spending it or giving it by faith. You're in a rut. You need to get out your rut. All right, so Deuteronomy says, do not say it's here, there, or everywhere, it's in your mouth. Then God says to Joshua, do not let the word depart from your mouth. All right? Somebody say, my mouth. So now we get to obviously very, well, obvious to some of us, Romans 10. Here we go. Verse 6. You're making notes. Romans 10, 6. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Now, there was a righteousness in the law, but now we're talking about righteousness of faith. And righteousness has a voice. Do you understand? This is why it's... is this boring?
Now, some of you it is because you've clicked off. Because I'm actually telling you, according to the truth, what you must do, and you're resisting it. You've got to get the word in your mouth. In your mouth. You know what you should do? You should actually, all these praise music. I don't listen to praise music. Because if you ain't singing it, it is no value. With the high praises of God in my mouth and a two-edged sword in my hand. With the high praises of God in my mouth and a two-edged sword in my hand. Not the high praises of God in my ears. If you ain't singing with your CD, stop it. Put a CD of somebody reading the word. And then start saying it with them. Yes. Now, how many times you heard me say this? Here we go. I'm going to say it again. The best preacher in the world. Undeniably. Unquestionably. Not taking a vote. This is not a democracy. It's you. It's you. If the word is in your mouth, bingo, 5 inches of faith. Because faith comes by hearing. So if the word's in your mouth, it goes in your ear. And faith comes. You see, when the word comes, faith comes. When the word comes, faith comes. When the word comes, faith comes. When religious quoting of scriptures comes, faith does not come. Because the scripture's got to be in your mouth and in your heart. So people that go, oh, my God, supply all your needs, according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Even though he's broke and in debt and living on a budget that he can't hopelessly do anything about. Oh, shut up. Don't throw scriptures at me that you ain't living. Right, so you are the best preacher in the world. There are some people who have been in this church for years. I've never, ever heard them quote a scripture. Every time I talk to them, they say something stupid, some joke, tell me a story. I couldn't care less. Or they're joining the Moses bunch and just whining. But until the word is in your mouth, nothing is going to change. So, okay, Romans, righteousness of faith speaks. Do not say in your heart who will ascend. Here we go again. That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who will descend into the abyss. That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, you will be saved. So if you're not saying it, nothing's going to happen. Are we okay with this? If you are not saying it, if you are not constantly declaring the word of God, if it isn't life on your lips. So let me just give you a couple of quick tips, the last few minutes, to help this. I've already actually given you the tip. Let's say the prime, I don't know. Sometimes you think English was my second language. Just some basics. Let's go back to grade school. Not exactly kindergarten, but let's go here. This is the most important reality if you are going to ever live by faith. And I'm talking about living by faith in your finances, living by faith in your health, living by faith in your relationships, living by faith with your children, living by faith in your house, living by faith in your ministry, living by faith, whatever you're doing, living by faith, paying your tithe by faith, hallelujah. And all these things bear fruit because God will reward those who diligently seek him. The number one step, and I have to say this, I can't think of anything greater than this, for faith is, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice because he has made me glad. From the beginning, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his gates with thanks. Metronome, come on. I will enter. If you're not singing, I'm pointing. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving. Hello, is there any part of that you don't understand? I will grumble with Moses about this manna. There's your choice. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Every day. Every day. All day. Scripture says in Thessalonians, here we go. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So this is not about concerning you, it's about concerning you. Not concerning you, it's concerning you. In everything, give thanks. Not for everything. Oh, wow, thank God I just wrecked my car. No. You wrecked your car and say, thank God he is my provider. Thank God he cares for me. Thank God he's not mad at me. Thank God for my family. Thank God for my country. Thank God for my church. Thank God for my leaders. Thank God for my kids. Thank God for my boss. Thank God for my work. Thank God in everything. Give thanks. And Jesus, breaking the bread, gave thanks. You want to see the word multiply in your life? Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks unto the Holy One. Give thanks. Isn't that a nice song? Because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Because has done. Not he's going to do. Not he's going to do what he has done. And now, come on, why aren't you singing? Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Because of what the Lord. Past tense. Past tense. Past tense. Past tense. Past tense. You don't have to have hope. Gee, I hope I will be born in England. I hope I will marry a wonderful wife and have five children. I hope I'll be tall. You see, you don't have to have hope for what's done. By his stripes you were healed. And this is why we don't have faith, because we've still got living in hope. There is no faith tomorrow. Why do you take thought for tomorrow? So let's just wrap this up. And I know some of you out there agree with me saying, why doesn't he wrap up? And I really, in all honesty, don't care. But I'm going to close. Any of you who lived through the 70s and 80s, and if I was to say Mark 11, 23, 24, who would I be talking about? Kenneth Hagin, one of the greatest faith preachers who ever lived. So Jesus answered to them and said, hey, have faith in God. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, whoever speaks to this mountain,
whoever opens their mouth and doesn't say, help, I hope, but speaks to their finances, speaks to their health, speaks to their marital problem, speaks to their disobedient children, with the right kind of spoon, of course, speaks. Yeah, you better believe it. You know why it doesn't work for you? You don't do it in faith. You only do it in anger. And so, oh yeah. If you give your children the rod in faith, trust me, it works. Or God is a liar. Why do you have to think God on that one? Anyway, it's not the point. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, who says to your problem, your situation, your dilemma, your hopeless situation, be removed and cast into the sea. And what does it say? Therefore I say to you, whoever thinks, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, have anything against anyone, forgive them. Okay, so the last two points is this. Point number one, be thankful. Point number two, praise. Praise. You can't praise and mumble at the same time. Why do you think Jesus is called the hidden manna in the book of Revelation? Because he comes in $2 checks, that's why. And you miss it. Be a praiser. And I've said this so many times, I'm driving down the road and I suddenly go, praise God. Nobody knows what's just gone through my head. It was some wicked thought from the prince and power of the air. Somebody, it was the accuser of the brethren talking to me, telling me this, 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 and this. And so what comes out of my mouth? Praise God. And the accuser of the brethren goes, ah, didn't get it. And so then, as it clearly says here, when you stand, pray, and forgive. So it just, I'm just giving you those three simple things. Thankful. Thank God. All the time. In every situation, thank God. Be a praiser. If the praise isn't in your mouth, mate, it's no good being in Hillsong's mouth. It's got to be in your mouth. And forgiveness. So I hope I've said something. Faith. It's got to be in the Word. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing comes by the Word of God. So I'm going to close on this story. So many of you don't know it. That's why I'm saying it quickly. I was crazy before I got saved, okay? So we left South Africa in 1977. We went to Malawi. We went to Kenya. We flew to India. We went from India into Nepal in the Himalayas. Went to, from the Himalayas overland into India, Kashmir, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Iran, Turkey, Greece. Went all that way. Then we came to America in 1978. My wife and I hitchhiked 18,500 miles around North America, Canada, America, Mexico. And then November the 4th, 1978, in the forest, I got born again. Now, all those things I did because I had a sense of adventure, was partly crazy, and had enough money to do it. Zippo faith. No faith. Zero faith. Wasn't saved. I was an enemy of God. Then I got born again. Then when I went back to England, started reading the Word, Matthew 19, Wendy and I wanted to go to Israel, and I read the Word and said, sell all you have, give it to the poor, come follow me, and you'll have riches in heaven. And I did it. I left England, as you know. Well, I'll tell you the quick story. 4 months, we hitchhiked from England to Israel with no money. That's faith. That's faith. God said, sell all you have, give it to the poor. I heard God. And it worked. So when you hear God, it works. But if you haven't got the Word, and if the Word isn't rich in your heart and your mouth, you're living in a routine.